Channel 2 over, and a continuation visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72.
Me, how smart me. And I'd have to let him go through my property. But I told him at the beginning, I said, you ain't going to tear up my fence and tear up my grass and go off and leave me like... He said, well, that's the way it was. The bad ones always come along ahead of the good ones.
Because you'd had this other experience.
I'd had that other experience. And they didn't even fix up no poles. They didn't do nothing. That Joe Henry Anderson, he just come out there and shot a bunch of bull to us, and he run the yard and burned up my pump.
But you couldn't prove that he'd burned it up. I mean, you couldn't make him pay.
Oh, no.
And that's something. When I hired the Dodge Buck out,
they worked out fine, but see, they wasn't there at the time that road was put there. But Mr. Dodd and Miss Dodd, theirs worked out just fine. They fixed them a wonderful water hole for their cows.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. Everything I do, I've always got the bad end of it.
They got a wonderful water hole down there, and the cows can walk right down to it?
Absolutely.
And got, how much money in to boot? Oh, they paid them.
I don't know. It was somewhere a little over $2,000, I think, she said. And I said, well, he sure didn't offer me nothing like that.
No, they paid him good wages and then built a road for him.
Absolutely.
And left him a water hole. I don't understand it. I never have had anything like that.
I sure have.
Never.
Well, there's somebody always wanting to use some of your property over there. Seems that, is that you're on the highway?
Mm-hmm.
If I deal with them, I get beat, Miss Mary.
I do too. That's the reason why I don't fool with them.
After you get burnt several times, it makes you sort of suspicious, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you see, Dodd dealt with all those carpenters and people like that, and I think once or twice he got stung too.
He got stung bad when he used Arnold Fowler.
Well, he's the one that brought his family.
That's right.
She never heard anything like that.
He brought his family?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he bring his family every day.
What was he doing?
He was helping Mr. Dodd on his house.
Did you ever hear anything like that?
Mr. Dodd, I told Mr. Dodd and Miss Dodd about it, and I begged them not to mess up with him. Oh, they were going to do it anyway. So they went on and done it. And it caused trouble between Mr. Dodd and Miss Dodd by him bringing his family over there every day.
And she had to put up with them.
She had to put up with them, but I wasn't sorry for her a bit in the world because I told her what would happen before they ever got Arnold. Well, heck, Arnold was there working by the hour, and anybody drove up there, well, he went and sat down and talked to them. Drank coffee.
Why did Mr. Dodd just tell him to take off?
They finally got enough of it and they got them going.
But they got it. They got a taste of it.
They got it put to them.
She didn't have to cook for that family, did she?
She did, and feed them.
Were they children?
Yes. She had two boys, and Miss Fowler and Mr. Fowler.
I never heard of that story.
Well, did the boys help, or did they just hang around?
Oh, they just hung around. Them boys is too small to do anything. They didn't know nothing about no carpenter work.
But you'd had them before.
Me? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
They were over there building your porch or something, wasn't
they? They built my porch. And after I got my old porch tore down, my house like to rotted down. Before they'd ever come back, they like this. They'll come and engage you, some work from you. Well, they'll come and get it started. Well, they'll leave you and go work for somebody else. And they'll work just as long as they want to for somebody else, and then they'll come back and they'll do a little something for you.
Yeah.
That's the way they operate. Shoot, they couldn't even build a chicken coop for me.
I guess he brought his family.
Yeah. Now you see, she's learning. She'll get stung too. She won't profit from any of this. You know, I sure wish, though, there was just one or two people. I wish there's some of the carpenters and all. Now, this man I know down at Orange Lake. He'll help me a little bit, but he don't have much time for any one person. But if I get into trouble, you see, and the pump will work, something like that, he'll take off and come up here and help me. And he knows what he's doing. And thing, a lot of times, you know, I could go ahead and do the work if I had a little help to show me things I don't know. Or where I'd have to go ahead and just do something I never done before, and they've done it.
Does anybody get the time of the day?
24 times, 10 o'clock.
I had to get back and fish dinner for Martin.
Well, he'd come over here and eat with us.
He'd come home and he wouldn't even know where I was at. He wouldn't have no idea where I was at.
Let me tell you, I want you to tell Suzanne about that Weavers. Don't you know, Faye, you remember that. That was the last time we was over there. We was talking about over there at Dodd's place, and now I've forgotten the name already. Paulin place.
Uh-huh.
Old Paulin place.
That's right.
And Ms. Dodd said over there one time when we was there, she wished she knew something about who the people who lived there before her. Now that's curious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she could just talk to you, you could have told her. Now you know, you knew old man Paulin.
Yes, sir. And Miss Sally. Mr. Ernest Paulin. Mr. Ernest Paulin's brother.
Uh-huh. And was he there when you come to that country?
Who, the old man? Yes, sir. He was living up there on the Dodge place. 2-story house.
And that was the old Holmes place.
That's right.
Back there. Ernest was his name?
Well, Ernest was the old man's son.
Oh, that's his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, old man Paulin. And he was old when you come.
Yeah, he was.
Uh-huh.
Been that long time.
Miss Sally was old. She was an old maid.
She was a sister.
Oh, Miss Sally was his sister.
Was Ernest Fallon's sister, but Mr. Fowl Fallon was her daddy.
Oh.
She and her daddy lived there, and she raised turkeys.
Oh,
she's the one that raised turkeys.
She's the one that raised the turkeys.
A whole lot of them.
Lots of them.
Yeah. Old man Fowl.
Old man Fowl.
Fowl.
That was the daddy of all the other Fallons.
Uh-huh. And Miss Sally and Ernest was his children.
That's right.
And they lived out there too.
Not Ernest, to my knowing. Not then. He had left and had moved to Evanston. Around here somewhere. And, Miss, she was a highfalutin Ernest Fallon's wife. She had an old car. And, oh gosh, if you seen her coming, you better get out of the way. She'd tear your buggy up.
They had a car.
Yeah, they was high flyers. And moved back out there, then they lost their place. And moved back out there on the old Fallon place. And we fed them. Helped to. That's Ernest and Ernest's wife. And Ernest Fallon tried to sell that whole place to Mr. Guthrie for $1,000.
Just to get it off his hands.
Yeah, well, he needed money, and he had to do something. He didn't know it worked. And
he wouldn't have thought of that, huh?
So his people finally moved him back to Hawthorne. And his boy, Ted Fallon, he was nothing but a young one when he lived there. And I understand he was buried here about a month ago. And maybe not quite that much.
But Ernest's wife was a high flyer.
She was a high flyer.
And she didn't care for all these buggies on the road.
Uh-uh. And she finally left. She left. They got the Hawthorne, and then she left and went to New York. The last time I heard from her, she was in New York with her sister. I imagine she's gone by now.
Yeah.
Because she must be getting, if she is living. Last time I seen Ted and talked to him, that's been several years ago, said she was mighty feeble.
But your recollection of her, well, she is a high flyer.
She was a high flyer.
And she run that car.
She did.
There weren't many cars around.
No, ma'am, there weren't many people that owned cars, and she thought that she was just it.
Yeah.
Because she owned an old car.
You know, that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to feel like I was it.
You know me, too.
But
I wish I could put on and make people think that I was a millionaire.
Yes, but I have never had the brass.
Me either.
And I've never had anything really to be it about. But I think that'd be fine, just to drive up and drive along. Just
and make
there
people think
Ma,
that you was rich. Had plenty of money.
Well, now, where does Marvin fit in? He lived over there too, didn't he?
The Paulins, let me see now, who did he work for? His people moved there to the Fallon place. And they raised cotton.
So if you really want to know about it, you can ask Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
How come? some, if they had a car, they had to think about selling their land for $1,000.
Well, see, this year, they had already got rid of this car.
Mm.
And that car wore out, or something happened to it, or whoever they bought it from took it away from them. Well, they had to leave, and they went back to the old Paulin place. And Miss Paulin said that she would never live in a house and burn kerosene lamps, but she did. She sure did.
Kind of a come down for.
Yeah. Well, you can see how things went there.
I helped move her back over there where she was at. At least Martin, Mr. Guthrie did. Martin wasn't with us at that time.
That during the war?
Oh, that was long before the war.
Oh, that before Marvin came by.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, that'd be before Marvin's time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gee whiz, that is well way back.
And he, and Marvin lived over there. I can't imagine that place in Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you knew Marvin's mama.
Oh, yeah. Knew her for years.
Well, now, was she your neighbor for a while?
Mm-hmm. She lived up there in that old, old house.
The old Andrew Jackson place.
That's right. Of course, it was in better shape than it was now. That used to be a nice place.
Mm-hmm. And you knew her when she lived there?
I sure did. See, the old body part of the house is still standing. Well, there was a little room over here. That was a room, bedroom. That's where the old-fashioned houses was made. Well, then, right off here on each side was a bedroom. And there was a wall that went to the kitchen. The kitchen was made way off from the house. I guess the kitchen was right as far from the house is that shelter right there.
Hmm. They have a covered wall.
Huh?
Covered wall?
Yeah, it was covered.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place, and they had the most beautiful orange trees you ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And that's when Marvin lived down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to see Mrs. Townsend.
Miss Townsend? Yeah. Yes, sir. I've seen Miss Townsend many and many a time. She lived right there with us, and she sewed on my machine. And she and I used to get out and walk to the, you know, over here to the Geiger place. We used to get out on Sunday mornings and walk over there.
Is that right? Who's all that then?
These people that brought Daisy here.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they walked back home with us. The Clarks.
Clarks. Mm-hmm.
They'd come down from Georgia. Now, she was nice-looking woman.
Who's that?
Miss Townsend.
She was real nice-looking. She was a nice-looking woman.
And she'd come over to your house and use your machine.
Mm-hmm. She was living at Jackson Place.
Was she the one who loved fish?
She's the one that loved fish.
I think I heard Marvin say.
She really loved fish, and she caught them too.
Yeah. Now, that wasn't necessarily out on Orange Lake. That was over there at the
Lock Lucy.
Lock Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and she was right there where she could fish. Now, Mr. Townsend seemed like he was not in good health all the time.
Well, he was.
I just got that idea somewhere.
Clarnell, were any of the children look like Miss Townsend?
No, ma'am, they don't. Any of them look too much like her.
I just think about Clarnell's black hair. She has such.
Clarnell don't look a thing like Miss Townsend.
Is that right?
Miss Townsend was real fair complexioned.
Yeah. Now, Miss Dodd was trying to figure out what those stones were over there, back of her place.
Mm-hmm.
And they got those cables in them, she said.
Well, Marvin said that there is where Mr. Ibbins started to put him up a feed mill.
Oh, bad Mr. Ibbins.
Mm-hmm. He said that's exactly what that was.
I see.
He was going to raise chickens and raise his own feed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another it fell through.
Well, he did that over at Micanopy.
He did?
Oh, he had several of those big chicken houses.
Mm-hmm.
Over there at one time.
Wonder where they at now.
India. Pakistan.
Did you all see TV last night?
No.
What'd you see?
Well, I saw something terrible. On Star Trek.
On Star Trek?
That naked woman?
Well, I didn't see it last night, but I've seen a lot of them.
Well, I tell you, we just throw our televisions away.
They ought to be banned. That's ridiculous. That's a disgrace to the human race.
Oh, you can really see things on there now.
And they don't try to stop it.
No, they don't. And they don't want to stop it. They want it to get worse and worse.
Yeah. Oh, me. Faye, we really had a nice visit the other night over there with Marvin and Mary.
Oh, y'all didn't stay long enough.
Don't tell me.
We left before we got started.
You supper for us.
Shucks. I wouldn't call that supper.
Don't tell me. Golly, we just stayed and stayed and stayed.
Marvin really feeds that little Cindy.
Oh, yeah. That's ridiculous the way he fills her up.
Why, Miss Mary? You mean you don't feed her that way?
No. No, ma'am.
You don't feed her dog food.
She won't eat it. She just won't have it.
He feeds her off the table.
That's right.
The best pieces.
That's right. That's what makes me so provoked with him.
So you're cooking for... You're cooking for more people than you'd think, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
She won't eat till Marvin comes home, didn't she say?
That's right.
Is that right?
She turns up her nose.
And you know she knows just as good what time we ought to go to bed.
Oh, she does?
Oh, yes. She begs Marvin to go to bed with her. He's running.
And she sleeps up on the bed?
Mm-hmm. With him right down at the foot, on top of the cover.
Thank you.
And she tells him when to go.
Well, you know, I noticed that he feeds not only Cindy, but he feeds all of it. He feeds his horses. He feeds.
He believes in them having something to
eat. I believe he feeds them before he feeds himself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
That's right.
Your appetite still as good as it was a few weeks ago?
Not quite as good. I've kind of cut down, but it's good enough.
You don't eat as much as you let on. What did you have for breakfast?
I haven't eaten any breakfast. Not on bite.
No,
yeah,
go.
I did eat one cookie. I just eat enough to help me swallow my medicine.
What do you mean not eating breakfast, Miss Mary?
I just don't want it.
Now, you don't eat in the lunch when Bobby's not there.
Yes, I do. Sometimes.
What do you eat?
Well, I'll get me a jelly sandwich, or sometimes I have ham and just put me a little piece of ham between it. Drink me a glass of tea or a cup of coffee or orange juice, just anything I'm. Well, I don't cook when he's not there for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So about the only meal you really have is supper when he's
right.
Working.
Miss Mary, your back hurts you a little bit. Now let me tell you what. Let's just get Marvin and let's have a little bite over here. Because I will just eat right here.
No, I won't have time.
They got things on the mind for you.
I wouldn't have time. I got things to do, you know, before I have to go over yonder.
Yeah.
I got to get out and jog a little bit and get my bike.
It's down low, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine is too.
I like to not have got up this morning. I just like not have made it.
But you haven't had any trouble like you was having. You're not
right.
Taking it. You don't have any pain pills now.
No. But it's right in there.
Does it hurt when you bend over?
No. But I'm stiff in my back and I hurt right there. And I can get up and get to going and get to stirring around and I'm all right.
Yeah.
Well, you need to jog up and down the lane.
Yeah, I'm going jogging.
Well, why don't you?
You got a sweatshirt on.
I jog up and down. You know the road that turns off to Wood and Marvin says somebody's come along, they think you was crazy, and I said, well, I am.
You just jog up and down that road, that lane.
So I just got to go and go jogging. Pick some Marvin some lunch.
I used to jog up down the railroad tracks, but I'm not close to the railroad here like I used to be. It's fairly private out on the railroad tracks, you know. Nobody much out there.
I wouldn't jog on no railroad track. I'd be afraid I'd fall down, and if you did, you'd be hurt.
Yeah.
You don't never jog on the railroad. Get out on the dirt so if you fall, you won't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But I have got to go. It's 10:30, and the time I get there and get things tended to, he'll be there about 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm trying to think. I know there's something that I know that I'd get you to tell Suzanne, but I can't think right off what it is. But now that about Miss Townsend, that's nice. What happened to Miss Townsend over there, Miss Guthrie?
She had sugar diabetes, and she fell and broke her shoulder, and she was in the hospital a long time.
Oh, was she?
And I thought she was coming home, and they called up Darcy's wife and told Darcy that she had just so long to live, and for the family all to visit her, but not let her know anything about it. Just so we did that.
Yeah.
And she just kept going down and down and down until she finally went.
Yeah.
She just had that sugar diabetes and got her shoulder broke, fell off of the bed. I always would believe her old man kicked her off.
Was he mean?
I don't know. I don't know much about him.
Did he outlive her?
Oh, yeah. See, she married again after Mr. Townsend died.
Well, who was she then?
I can't think of the old geezer's name.
Oh, he was the one that was meeting, mm-hmm. Not Mr. Townsend.
No, it wasn't Mr. Townsend.
But he was nice.
What happened to Mr. Townsend?
Nobody don't know. He got up, they were fixing to go fishing, and he got up and went and put his skis in his car. Went back and lay down on the porch and died.
They were fixing to go fishing.
That's right.
Where were they living then?
On the farm place.
Lordy. And Ms. Dodd don't know any of that.
Mm-mm. No, she don't know nothing about that.
Okay. Who lived there? Did Dr. Evans ever live there?
No.
Let's
see. No. But Mrs. Evans' brother's family lived there.
Oh,
not in the big house, but in the little house. He had two little houses built down there where their dog just got the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived there, the Pagets.
Pagets.
That's right.
Wait a minute, now I can't place the Pagets. Pagets. Who are the Pagets? Pagets. Well, I remember the name, but I can't place any of them. I guess I didn't know them.
And that their little houses were down there by the pump.
Yes. They lived in there. They didn't live in the big house.
What happened to the big house?
I think it was torn down. I think Miss Stevens tore it down and built chicken houses and chicken pens.
Oh, he just used the lumber for something else.
Mm-hmm.
All those nice old houses. Now, you don't want to do too much to your house. Because it's a nice old house, Ms.
Well,
Ms. Mary.
I know I can't do too much to it. I just want to get it where it looks kind of decent on the outside.
Yeah, you don't care inside.
Yeah, I do too. But then I just can't do no better. It takes money to do things.
Well, we sure enjoyed this little short visit.
Mm. You want me to take them back with me?
Yeah, I got some copies there.
Miss,
she didn't read this.
Well, listen, I don't want to miss anything. Now, for what you all say, I shouldn't miss it. You think I can stand it?
I don't know.
Gotta make her read it out loud, too.
Ray, I tell you what, I think one reading a day is enough. Maybe some other day, if we let her read it.
Now I think she ought to read it.
Well, I'm sure she sure don't want to be left out.
Yeah, well.
I'll tell you. And anybody that rakes up treasure like you all think that is.
Well, I don't know if you'd call it a treasure or not.
But I would. I'd just like to, you know, see some fun and stuff.
I sure sorry that my fire was out of place. I'd like that cinnamon.
Will you come on, you sit down and read this.
Well, I guess I can put it. Read it another day.
I sure don't want her to be left out.
I tell you, it's taking me longer to read it than just a few minutes, so.
She's putting it off, Miss.
Well, I tell you what, make Mr. Miles read it.
I didn't do a very good job that first time. I practiced up now, haven't I?
Make him read it to you.
You mean aloud?
I tell you what, you leave it there. You leave it there, and I'll read it to him.
No, you go ahead and read it.
No, okay, you.
I tell you
I won't save you for another time. When it's fresh, we'll start all over again.
We'll have a party and read it aloud. Oh,
there's
Lord.
Another one there I didn't read.
About the polar?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't nothing.
What do you mean it ain't nothing?
It ain't nothing about the polar.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go. Y'all come see us.
All right. I'll tell you, I'm gonna. That salad's not quite done. I was going to let you take it with you. But this is on the best fruitcake. I got one of you and one from Marvin.
Thank you.
I don't let it make you drunk.
No. Y'all hurry on over.
Well, I want you to jog and get that thing
I'm
on your back.
I'm going to jog.
Channel 2 over around 6:50, the end of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. This is on the new big machine. Channel 2 over around 6:50 or 700. And the end of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72. Channel 2 over. 6:50 to 700, and the end of the visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday morning, the 18th of January, 72.
There'll be so scholarly to see that writing will be so difficult. Get the rest of that. The demand for students in those seminars is so great that they'll take a man with one leg any day in the week. They've got their requirements, but they also have a seminar to fill. Brainy people, they can put it in the volume, but it's not that.
piece in this, and I would read it. Material from one of the Vanderbilt alumni on the, what do you call it, the, you know, receiving the men and the dormitory privileges, bedroom privileges. That's what he was saying. I never put my mind to it. But I thought I'd go along with it. And I worked it out. You know how I do on the time side. And at the end of the letter, I could see that it was just a part of all this stuff that's obnoxious. Also, the privileges of not going to class. So you could. You could argue those things. You could read up on them. But here Nick came, sat down and talked a while. That all was right before you. You didn't have to go anywhere. There it was. He was halfway between the campus and the gate. And all sorts of complications there, you see. He and a little girl can eat breakfast together. He don't have to meet class. They got no scholar standards up there. You can just name whatever you want to. You can see it right there. That little thing. It is very easy. So why make it difficult? You don't need any creative writing on that. You just need to, you know, the creative writing helps. You know, a little bit of just looking at it. You can read Camus. You don't need to take a course in Camus in order to see that. And read Mr. I give you a copy of that. Read Trilling's little article on it. You haven't seen that?
No.
Yeah. He's a fabulous reader. Yeah, that little piece of his on that is Anderson wrote. did it way back, you see. I mean, he wrote this way back. So you're reading. Undermine your feeling for as it does, and it increases mine. You see, as I can see it, if he's transparent, I can't see it, but he can help me see it. I will see it. I'm especially that was a you heard a little of that. That's a view of Mag, you see. Not it has. Oh, she had the devil in her. She died. She had many blessings. You heard that. Bring it out for them. You remember that? stays his hold on all those generations is remarkable. I see if I was down there sitting on the porch like she was yesterday afternoon, we came back to town all the time. We stopped for the paper. And she says, there's Miss Stacy on the porch. Sitting in Ben's car. She came back and said she had a, she'd eaten supper in a bowl. That's the trouble. That's the trouble. They teach it all, but nobody does it. And it's like the you gear it up. You say, all right, I'll make it a calendar. And somebody's gonna be out here, or be out somewhere. You see, at 10, 12, and 4. Education people have done that. You see, every minute of the day. For those youngsters is set down. And what that means is, of course some of it has to be planned, but what that means is that they can't do it themselves, or won't do it themselves. But they are so regimented now that they can't do anything unless they are regimented.
You want me to come? You want me to?
You gonna be there, Watts? I'll see you. Well, I wasn't talking to her. I was just telling her from a little broader perspective, put me into the large perspective.
And she understand, yes, and you did it well too, because you.
I just plead with those damn cool students. If I get rid of them.